She's a business mogul.
Number one.
And wellness expert.
How can I help?
And now Chantel Ray and her amazing guests are here to guide you on your wellness journey.
Time to level up.
Welcome to the Waste Away Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to today's episode, and we're so excited. We have Risa Grew, and she is going to be talking to us about so many different things. We're so excited. We're talking about the six different types of diets and which one is the best for you. We're going to be talking about thyroid, joint pain, detoxing, and so much more. So Risa, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So one of the things that, you know, everyone is trying to lose weight, and not only lose weight, but also feel their best. And so you kind of have this philosophy that not everyone feels the best with every diet. Like one person, they could eat rice and they'd feel fine. Another one could eat this and they would feel horrible. Mm-hmm. So tell us, what are the different diets that you think that people can feel good on? And what brought you to this conclusion?
Great question. So I've been a functional nutritionist for decades, and I've worked with thousands of people. And what I realized is that not everybody was thriving on the same exact diet type. So when I first started my practice a million years ago, I would put everybody on the same diet type, eating lifestyle. And I would notice that some people would absolutely thrive and some people, the needle wouldn't move at all. Their symptoms would stay the same. And so we didn't really make any progress. So I started to realize that it was that we should start to be eating for our current health status. So example, if you have autoimmune disease, you should be on an AIP protocol. That's the autoimmune protocol. And it's specific and all the foods are geared towards decreasing that systemic inflammation that's taking place, that the Treg cells, T17 is activated and we're getting into a cytokine storm, which is basically inflammation. And, you know, all autoimmune diseases are the same in terms of creating that inflammation. We just find a different gland, a tissue, or an organ in which to park itself. So if we put out that fire and decrease that inflammation, our symptoms tend to go away, our antibodies tend to reduce. So that, for instance, the AIP protocol, that's a 30 to 90 day protocol. So that's not a lifetime eating lifestyle. After that, I'm sort of recommending those people to either go on a paleo program or a low lectin, depending on what they have, what their symptoms are. They'll thrive pretty much on either of those two. So that's very
specific. Let's talk about the AIP diet for just a second. And you correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm just doing this based on memory. But from AIP, it is very restrictive. So they basically say, no grains, no beans, no nightshades, no dairy, obviously no processed foods, but also no nuts and seeds and no eggs. So that's the main things that I remember. And so that kind of really limits it. And so kind of what you're eating on that diet is basically, you know, vegetables that are not nightshades. Fresh fruits, and then, you know, meat that's not like processed.
Right.
Is that kind of
animal protein and good fats? Correct. It is really restrictive. I have never had an experience with anyone that has done AIP with me, and me included, that has not done really well with that. So it is restrictive, and it is recommended 30 to 90 days, depending on, you know, what your symptoms are, how many antibodies you have. I recommend going 90 days because why wouldn't you? Just trying to, basically, we're trying to put the fire out in the basement, right? So I've had amazing results with watching people on AIP.
Did you guys know that 97% of Americans are deficient in at least one mineral? It's true. You need more than a dozen minerals for your body to function at its best, but with the standard American diet, it's almost impossible. So here's where Beam Minerals comes in. Guess what? All you have to do, take one little shot of this one little shot of this one, and guess what? It looks like this, but it tastes like water. Take one shot, and boom, in 30 seconds a day, you're getting an entire thing of minerals instead of an entire cabinet of supplement bottles. So with Beam Minerals, we make mineral balance simple.
So good.
And so what would be some of the things that they have just felt so much better with? Is it joint pain? Is it what are you seeing like that they really started improving on?
Joint pain is a great example. I've worked with so many people with rheumatoid arthritis that we've either completely gotten rid of all of their joint pain, and we're talking about pretty severe years of chronic joint pain, or we've lessened it to the degree where it's like a 2 on a scale from 1 to 10, and it comes and goes. But generally, it dissipates completely or just occasionally. Another one, which I thought was really interesting, I worked with somebody who had Tourette's. And when they went on AIP, the Tourette's symptoms went away. So Hashimoto's is another one we tend to see a lot of antibodies go down dramatically. So it's fascinating to watch.
Awesome. Okay, so what are the rest of them?
The rest of the diet types?
Yes.
So there's keto, paleo, low lectin, low FODMAP, and AIP. Do you want me to break them down?
Yeah, if you could, just kind of for those people.
Yeah, so
keto, I think most people understand the paleo diet, the keto diet, but go over the low FODMAP and sure. low lectin.
Sure. And I just want to say one thing about keto, which a lot of people I don't think understand, is that women don't tend to excel very much on keto. Now, some do, but not everybody. So men really succeed on keto much more than women do. And some of it's tied to cortisol, our stress hormone. But some of it is also fat malabsorption. So if you don't have a gallbladder, it's something I don't really recommend you do keto if you have any fat malabsorption. So that's just something I wanted to say about keto. As far as low lectin or low FODMAP, let's talk about low FODMAP. Low FODMAP is one of those diet types that I use a fair amount in my office. I do see a lot of people who come in with SIBO, which is small intestinal bacteria overgrowth, or anybody with chronic bloating or IBS, low FODMAP is awesome for those people. And what happens is FODMAP is an acronym, and it stands for fermented oleosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols. So in plain English, these are different kinds of carbohydrates that will absorb water and gas, and it will make you bloat. It will just really, I mean, the bloating is, it's chronic, and it's debilitating sometimes. So the symptoms of SIBO are chronic bloating and either chronic diarrhea or chronic constipation, and it could be alternating of both. So those are the people that I'm automatically putting on a low FODMAP diet. Now, FODMAPs, these carbohydrates, tend to be, there's a lot of different foods that are high FODMAP. So, for instance, like all the cruciferous vegetables, so cabbage, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, broccoli, those tend to really bloat people. Now, some people I have noticed can eat cauliflower, but they cannot eat broccoli, and vice versa. They cannot eat broccoli, but they can eat cauliflower. So onions and garlic are the high FODMAP foods. Those will bloat people pretty much almost all the time. So those are the ones that we really, really watch. There's fiber is really kind of tricky with low FODMAP. So you can have a little bit of vegetables, but not a lot. And certain types of vegetables, but serving size is just huge for low FODMAP. And we gradually, as we start to kill off that bacteria in the small intestine, we can gradually increase our portion size for some of those foods. But animal protein, you're pretty good with. There are certain types of like some cheeses you can have, and like a little bit of sweet potato you can have. It really is very controlled by portion. And the stricter you are at the beginning, the better off you'll be. And again, that's another 30 to 90 day protocol. I don't recommend going on the low FODMAP forever, but a lot of people will go on it for 30 days or even 2 weeks when they're having a reoccurrence and then it seems to dissipate. and then they go back to maybe a paleo lifestyle, and then they'll just go back to low FODMAP occasionally when they need it.
Okay. And then what about the low lectin?
Yeah, so low lectin, you had talked about nightshades, and nightshades are really high in lectins. And lectins, I'll just kind of review that. We have this umbrella called anti-nutrients. And under anti-nutrients, we have phytates and we have lectins. And basically, all living organisms on this planet have the ability to protect themselves, right? So we as humans, we can, if we're in a dangerous situation, we can flee, bite, scream, yell, call 911. We can get out of a situation, right? But plants don't have that ability. So what they do is they have what I call a hard candy shell around the germ or the seed of that plant to protect themselves. So our main goals as living organisms is to survive and procreate. Same with plants, right? So it's protecting itself so it can survive and procreate. And so those lectins, which is the hard candy shell around that, can be very difficult to digest. So if you're somebody who doesn't have a lot of acid in your stomach, you're going to have a hard time breaking that down, right? We all have that friend, or maybe it's ourselves, who eat the hummus and then we just blow up like a balloon, right? We're just super bloated.
I cannot eat beans. I really don't feel great when I eat grains. And I don't feel great when I eat beans. With grains, there are certain ones like gluten-free grains that I just get to my snapping point. Like, I don't feel great on it. But you know how for a while and you're like, okay, if I don't have a piece of gluten-free bread, I'm going to snap.
Right. I totally know that. Yeah.
I'm going to snap. So you're just like, okay, I don't feel great, but I don't feel terrible. So I'm going to go ahead and take, like, if you gave me a piece of gluten bread, I'm going to be on the floor. So that's not even an option for me. So that's completely off the table. But I think there's also, with what you're saying, there's also like degrees of like, okay, how bad am I going to feel if I eat this? And so it's kind of like, if I'm not going to feel that bad, I'll do it every once in a while kind of thing.
Exactly. You know, I always say, how many times can I punch you in the face until you finally go, stop, right? Like, right. We torture ourselves with eating this food that we really want, but doesn't feel good to us, right? So how many times are we going to do this? And if you do, you know, if you do it occasionally, it's okay. Or you find the right brand or the amount of the portion size that works for you. But you're right. I mean, gluten is a big promoter of leaky gut. So it's going to go into the intestinal lining. And remember, we only have one layer of epithelial cells in the intestinal lining, just one layer. Our outside skin has seven. So it's really fragile. And we're putting bread, sugar, dairy, and alcohol and all these chemicals into our intestinal lining, and we're poking holes, right? That's where we get this leaky gut. And then we start to have these food sensitivities, right? It's not that we're all allergic to these foods. It's that we have these gaping holes that when these undigested proteins are going in through the back door, the body says, who are you? You're the enemy. It starts to create antibodies and starts to attack it, right? That causes inflammation. We do that long enough and eventually we are diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, right? Hopefully not, but that's usually the trajectory of that. So lectins are found in grains, as you said. And now some people, if you give them a digestive enzyme, that's what I would try with you. I would say, let's give you some digestive enzymes so you can break down those lectins. And that works a lot for people, right? But some people it doesn't, right? So, and we all know that lectins cause a lot of inflammation. It's one of those invaders that causes the inflammation. So you feel fine, maybe, perhaps when you're eating that tomato or the eggplant or the hummus, but you might not even bloat, but you're having an inflammatory response to that. And that's because of the lectins are very high in inflammation. They cause a lot of inflammation. Where do we find lectins? As you said, grains and beans, all legumes have high lectins. Now, if you pressure cook them or soak them overnight or for 24 hours, you're going to decrease the lectin load. So if you just have to have that lentil soup, just soak it overnight. A company called Eaton makes beans that are pressure cooked already, so you can buy them in the can, and they're much easier to digest. Some people might not be able to digest them at all. And if you have inflammation, it's not something I'd probably recommend on a regular basis. But it's also found like in seeds of vegetables, so like cucumber seeds and the skin of cucumbers, tomato seeds, tomato skins. Those things are really, really high in lectins. Squashes, zucchini skin, zucchini seeds. So those kinds of things are really, really high in lectins.
Guys, I just want to interrupt for just a second, and I want you to hear Paul Saladino talk about why liver is so important. And if you don't like liver, we have another option for you.
Your ancestors were eating liver. And the reason that this sort of wisdom has been passed down is because liver is very nutritious. It's basically nature's multivitamin. If you look at the nutrients in meat, they're great. You've got zinc, you got B6, you got B12, you got some K2. But if you look at liver, it really complements what's in muscle meat. And there are many unique nutrients found in organs, specifically liver as a powerhouse of these, that are difficult to obtain outside of liver. Like meat and organs are like peanut butter and jelly. They just go together. They're supposed to be eaten together. The easiest way to eat liver is just to do it raw. If you don't want to eat liver raw, you can cook it. But the reason that I like to do it raw is because there are unique nutrients in liver that are probably somewhat degraded when you cook the liver.
This really is like the most nutrient-rich supplements that you can find. And they are amazing. I have tried them. I absolutely love them. So just go to heartandsoil.co, use the coupon code Chantal Ray, and save you some money there. Let's switch gears for just a second and let's talk about thyroid. I know that you are a thyroid expert and you help so many people with their thyroid issues. I want you to start by talking about a really controversial topic right now, and that is a lot of people say if your thyroid's not working, you need iodine, and that will really kind of help your thyroid work better. And there's some other things that I'd like you to talk about, like, you know, selenium and some other things that are really good blends for your thyroid, getting it to function. Mm-hmm. And then some people say, actually, some people are taking too much iodine and that could have the reverse effect. So what's your opinion on some of the supplements that you need to make sure that your thyroid is working optimal?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. Because iodine, you know, to iodine or not to iodine, right? That is the question. So there's two camps here. And one is that it's great, as you said, and one is that it's a hindrance. And so what I've deduced from all the years of working with people and me personally being able to reverse my Hashimoto's, what I just want to go to the mechanics of the thyroid for a second, and then I'll be able to relate what the iodine does. But basically, it's a very complicated gland, and it's in charge of our temperature gauge, our metabolism, a lot of blood flow, but it really affects almost every system in the body. So that's why the thyroid is so critically important to look at all nine markers. It starts in the brain, in the pituitary, which is the shape and size of a pea in the brain, and it creates what's called TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone. That's what most conventional doctors test you for. And basically, that goes through the liver. That's why we detox, and we create T4. T4 is for four atoms of iodine. That is our inactive thyroid hormone. It's inactive. We do not use it. We need to convert that T4. We cleave off one atom of iodine. We convert it into T3. That's our active thyroid hormone. So that's the star of the show. That's what we're looking for. So that's where iodine comes in. Now, if you're hypothyroid, meaning that your thyroid's an underachiever, it's not working optimally, then, and you don't have any antibodies, so you're not in the state of Hashimoto's, that is a person that I would recommend a little bit of iodine would be great for, because that iodine is going to help give them enough T4, right? Four atoms of iodine so that they convert it into T3, or their active thyroid hormone. If you are a person who has antibodies and a low T3, I am not going to recommend iodine for you. For you, I'm going to recommend selenium. Selenium, you can get that from enough selenium, about 400 milligrams from two Brazil nuts, the big large ones that everybody leaves in the jar. But if you eat two of those a day, that selenium will help convert your T4 into T3. You can also take a supplement of selenium if you don't like the Brazil nuts or you just prefer to do that. And that will help. Now, if you're hyperthyroid, you have you're producing a lot of T4, then I would not recommend iodine in that situation as well, because we don't want to add fuel to the fire, especially if you're having antibodies and elevated T4, which would bring you to Graves' disease, another autoimmunity where you're overproducing thyroid hormone. So I would only use it in the one instance where you have low thyroid, low T3, and probably low T4, and no antibodies present. That's where I would use it. And you can also get it from food. Seaweed and a lot of seafood has iodine, and those are natural sources to get it. You don't necessarily have to take iodine. I keep an iodine loading test on occasion, where I will give somebody iodine and then they urinate and to find out how much they're holding on to. That way you can kind of tell if they're deficient in iodine. But you really get it through foods.
Awesome. So what are some of the things besides, you know, some of the supplements that you just talked about, are you seeing is really helping people with their thyroid?
So I have a brand, I have a supplement called OptiThyroid, and it has all the herbs and the vitamins for function and conversion. So what I find
what's in it?
There's selenium and all different kinds of herbs and vitamins that you can use for function and conversion. But that, and then of course, vitamin D is critically important because all cells have a vitamin D receptor. And so we need vitamin D, enough vitamin D for our thyroid. That's huge. I'm a big fan of vitamin B, but that's overall, it's gut and RNA, DNA, adrenals. Vitamin B is essential for a lot of things. But those, and then the two Brazil nuts a day is typically what I'm giving people with thyroid. Now, if you're taking a lot of biotin, some people take a lot of biotin for their hair, you'll see that affect your reverse T3. It may cause your reverse T3 to go up. So just be conscious of that if you're taking a lot of biotin.
Did you guys know that your thyroid's main food is iodine? And guess what? Mercury and other toxins gobble up your selenium, and your thyroid glands need selenium to convert iodine to thyroxine. So if you have mercury fillings and with all the toxins and mold, your selenium just gets gobbled up. So here's the bottom line. I take something called Peak Thyroid. It's got iodine, it's got copper, and it's got selenium. Everything you need to get your thyroid back to functioning without medicine. So go to ChantelRayWay.com/upgraded formulas. Use the coupon code ChantelRay to get a huge discount. So I will tell you from personal experience. So I try to eat my diet's kind of a paleo diet. Mm-hmm. But if I do... Even if I do strict paleo, or if I do the autoimmune paleo diet, I will tell you my thyroid is on overdrive. So what happens is the healthier I eat. So right now, I am on a very, very low, naturally desiccated thyroid, and I've just kind of weaned it down, and it's a very... Yeah, it's a very, very low dose right now. And if I ate 100% paleo, where I never ate a grain at all, I wouldn't be on any kind of thyroid medicine at all.
Wow, that's amazing.
I wouldn't. And what happens is even with me being on this low dose, I can tell, like, just from me eating, let's say, one piece of gluten-free bread, I can tell, you know, my thyroid and just how I'm functioning and how I'm doing for the day is not as optimal as if I was doing a paleo diet. And so what happens sometimes, what happened to me before I realized this, because it was a major aha for me, was I would sometimes eat paleo and then sometimes I wouldn't, right? So I would just go like this. And then I would realize, like, sometimes, you know, why am I finally, like, put the dots together to figure out how I was feeling, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that. Now, was it your energy you were noticing different, or was it the ability to lose weight, or was it sleep?
All of it. It's just the, like, every symptom of having your thyroid be, well, and part of it was at the time when I was taking a lot higher dose outbook. Now I'm on a very low dose, so it doesn't affect me as much. But at one point, I would go to the doctor and my thyroid wasn't, like, not working. He's like, Chantel, we're going to have to up your naturally desiccated thyroid because it's not functioning well. Your thyroid's still not working. So he just kept increasing and increasing it. Well, then there were days where, let's say I was eating so clean and so perfect. Well, then I felt like, you know, having that thyroid medicine in you, but then your natural thyroid's actually working, right? You actually feel terrible. So that's when I actually figured that out. That was a huge aha moment for me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I still have to get myself to the point where I really have to mentally put myself in that space where I say, you'll never have to take thyroid medicine again if you do two things. One, I am taking a few supplements that are made for your thyroid. The ones by Upgraded Formulas. It's like a liquid that I just put into my coffee, and it has everything I need. It has the selenium, it has iodine, it has all of that. And I just actually, it's absolutely disgusting if you try to take it. First, I was like, oh, heck no, I'm not taking this. But all you do, if you ever, this is another tip I learned. If you have a liquid, I am a big fan of liquid supplements. If you have a liquid supplement, if you have a coffee in the morning, you just put the liquid supplement in the coffee. You won't even taste it. It's like,
it doesn't ruin your coffee.
What?
It doesn't ruin your coffee.
Doesn't ruin your coffee.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's such a good hack. So those are my two tips for the day.
That's great. Yeah, I usually put them in my shake because I'll have a shake, a collagen shake, pretty much every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I think what you're highlighting is that every body is different. You know, every body responds differently to different things. You know, sometimes we can take somebody off of gluten, like Hashimoto's, and next thing you know, they're like 1,000%. Their antibodies go away. And usually it's not that simple. But and a lot of times, I mean, I would say 50% of the time, maybe even more, 70% of the time, people feel a significant difference. They feel way better just by removing gluten, right? If we remove gluten and dairy and then take out processed foods or sugars, things like that, they feel way better. Soy is another one. Soy and thyroid don't really get along. So, and if you think about it, almost all processed foods have soy or soybean oil, right? Even mayonnaise. I mean, I was seeing the other day on the shelf that Hellman's mayonnaise is now soybean oil. And some of our supplements do are, there's a manufacturer out there, Nature Made, that has, and they're all over. They're all over Costco and Target and everywhere. And they have soybean oil in their vitamin D and vegetable oil. So you're getting all this inflammation. They don't even have vitamin K for absorption. So it's really, you know, you have to watch the ingredients in your supplements too. Because they, you know, it's crazy that we have so much soy, and soy lecithin is such a common emulsifier, that it's in a lot of things, a lot of chocolate. So, but it's in a lot of things. So it's really important to stay away from soy when you have thyroid as well.
So one of the things that I love about you, I went on your website, and you guys have to go to her website. She's got these amazing recipes for like a coffee cake and a lemon tart and this like pumpkin cheesecake bar. And they look absolutely amazing. And so, you know, I think one of the things that will help someone be able to sustain living this healthy lifestyle is by having these little treats. Like, you know, one of the things I do, that coffee cake recipe that you have, I basically make it and then I put it in the freezer and I put like little, you know, put it in like little baggies.
Servings, right.
Into little servings. So then, because it's like when you want a piece of coffee cake, you want to have a healthy version, but like right at that time, you don't feel like, okay, let me just whip up some coffee cake right now, you know? So it's right. These different recipes is super, super important because then it's like you're satisfied with that coffee cake. You know that they're great ingredients. Talk a little bit about, you know, how you've been able to get all these great recipes and not feel deprived, because I think if you can get your life to the place where you can eat clean but never feel deprived, like that for me, anytime I feel like I'm deprived, it is an absolute recipe for disaster. And just so you guys know, if you look at any kind of binge eating like cycles and charts or things like that, and if you look them up, they literally start anytime there's a binge. The number one thing of a cycle, it goes like this. You start out feeling deprived. Then you have this overwhelming urge to eat. Then you binge. Then you feel out of control and ashamed. Then you diet to regain control. Then you start again to feel deprived. If you never start, right, with feeling, the number one thing is feeling deprived. If you get yourself where you go, I'm not feeling deprived. I went and I found this recipe for this amazing coffee cake or this lemon tart and all of these things, then you never get to that place and you don't get rid of that binge cycle.
Horrible, vicious cycle. And I'm so glad you talked about that, because once you start, exactly, it's self-perpetuating, because you cannot starve. Starvation is just not an option, right? It's that deprivation, starvation. I'm not, I don't support that in the least bit. So, and I love to eat. And I love good food, and I do love to cook, but I'm not one of those people who could be in there all day with all these ingredients that you can't even find. I'm like, all my recipes are maybe 10 ingredients or less, because I like it simple and easy. I work a lot, and I'd rather spend my time that I'm not working being active rather than, you know, being in the kitchen all day. But I am a big fan of preparation, so I do make a lot of food from scratch. I mean, all the food I make is pretty much from scratch. But I love treats. I love sweets. So I use allulose as my number one favorite sweetener, which comes from figs, jackfruit, or raisins. And it doesn't spike blood sugar levels. It does not give you gastric upset. And what I love about it, it's basically free food. We don't really digest it. So it doesn't have any calories or carbs, even though the FDA makes us put it on our labels. You really don't digest it. So there's no calories or carbs, which is awesome. Another sweetener that I really love is monk fruit. So I cook with monk fruit a lot. Monk fruit is often found with erythritol because monk fruit is expensive. So they cut it with erythritol. Erythritol is just a sugar alcohol. Some people can be sensitive if you have a lot or a little.
Terrible gas. I cannot. I can't take erythritol because it just, no one would want to be around.
A lot of people have that. So I get it. So, but just monk fruit concentrate would be great for you. And the other one is stevia. These are all really good non-calorie, non-nutritive sweeteners that are natural, that don't really have, you know, you don't have to pay to play. So I use those for mine, but I usually have like chia pudding in my fridge because that's super easy to make. And I put some collagen in there, so it's got a protein, fat, and fiber. And so that's a great treat that you don't feel deprived, not very high in net carbs at all, depending on what you use, but I have that a lot. I love my brownies, my collagen chocolate brownies, which have almond butter in it, which is amazing. I make tahini chocolate chip cookies. And just like you said, I'll put them in the freezer and I'll just grab one when I need it, right? And I cook a lot of different foods that are good. And what I do is I don't count calories. I don't think calories, they're not all created equal. I'm more concerned with carbohydrates because that's what our fuel source is. But I don't typically recommend people counting unless somebody's like really, really determined to lose a certain amount, and we'll start to do some quantitative work. But I don't typically recommend it. I think it's great to just eat food, eat protein, fat, and fiber. Weight loss is a side effect of wellness, and I focus on wellness. Eating protein, fat, and fiber is going to create wellness.
I don't know about you guys, but I am stressed. And if you're feeling overwhelmed this holiday season, then I get it. With all the family get-togethers, it is just a relentless source of stress. But anyway, there is something that I've got called Stress Guardian, and it's actually made by Bioptimizers, the people who make the magnesium breakthrough, which I love, love, love. But anyway, they are literally made this new product. It has 14 adaptogenic herbs, and it just regulates your stress. I just actually took some right this second, and it's awesome. If you go to stressguardian.com/wasteaway and put in wasteaway for 10% off your first order, it's stressguardian.com/wasteaway. Go there now.
So good. Let's talk about detoxing for just a second. And I know that you're a big fan of detoxing. And I think that I want you to talk about some pros and cons because, you know, when you are detoxing, sometimes you can feel worse before you get better. So I want you to talk about some of your top detoxing tips and what are kind of the pros and cons of each.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of detoxing. As you said, the average American female comes in contact with over 200 toxins just before she's left the bathroom each morning. And if you think about the toxins, I mean, I was at the hairdresser yesterday and they had all the Febreze plugins. And I kindly educated the salon about it. And they were so grateful that they didn't know. And I pulled up a couple articles. And anyway, we're still friends. It's all good. And they took out all the plugins.
Okay. Well, I want you to talk about that for just a second because, okay, let me tell you this. I literally, no joke, at my gym that I was going to, they had them. And I literally would take them and pull them out. And it's like the person who is running the gym, it's like, you're so healthy. And like, why do you not know that these are absolutely toxic? So I want you to explain why they are so toxic real quick. Yeah. So people can really understand that.
Sure. They're chemicals, right? It's a chemical. It's a science experiment that they created to make a fragrance. All fragrances are chemicals, basically, unless they're essential oils, right? So they're fragrances, and they've got all different kinds of chemicals in them. And then they're radiated out, right? They put them in the plug, and then they radiate out. Or even worse, when you go into an Uber, they have them on the the air vents, and they're blowing at you, right? And so these chemicals, same things with scented candles and perfumes. These are chemicals that go into your system, and they can live anywhere. They can live in your brain, your kidney, they live in fat cells and fat tissues. That's where we store a lot of our toxins. But they live everywhere. They do destruction, and we have an accumulation of them. A lot of people will say, oh, well, doesn't our body naturally detox? Well, to some degree, it does, if your pathways are open. But it doesn't get rid of all of it, right? So I always say, use this example. Imagine that you're pulling up to a community, right? And you have the lane for the guest, and you have the visitor, and you have the lane for the resident, right? The residents, they just go right through the gate. But the visitors, they have to stay at the gate and waiting for the guard to check them and get all their information to get them through. So I use that example because when we ingest, whether we're eating them or we're smelling them or we're putting them on our skin, they're coming into the body. The liver has to go, okay, let me see if I can process you, right? So all the things that we're born to eat or feel or put on our skin or smell, those are the things, or inhale, those are the things that are going right through, right? Because our body knows how to process them. It's the foreign visitors that come in, and the liver has to say, hang on a second. When I'm a second, I'm going to just convert you into an enzyme so I can get you processed through the system. Well, we keep doing that day in and day out, right? Let's say we're having a processed breakfast, and we just, you know, threw on some nail polish and some regular makeup and some deodorant, and you know, we put some perfume on, and off we go, right? And then we have this breakfast, and the liver's like, okay, I'm trying to catch up with what you just did this morning, you know, and then maybe we slept on sheets that were were, you know, cleaned with Gain or Tide or something like that. And I mean, we can go on and on and on. Everything's scented, right? So your liver is going to start to break down. It's just not going to work optimally. It's too much work for the liver to do. So what we try to do is decrease our toxic load and clean out our liver. Depending on where your enzymes are and how you feel, I'm going to recommend that you detox at least once a year, but usually twice is my minimum to four times a year. Somebody who's coming into my office brand new, who's got some fatty liver and fatigue and a bunch of other symptoms, I'm going to detox them. I have a detox, my RGN detox I do for 14 days. I do them for 28 days. And you lose a bunch of weight, but again, weight loss is a side effect of wellness. I worked with The Biggest Loser from season four, and I did, I put him on the detox. He had gained all his weight back from the show, which was crazy, all of it. And so I detoxed him for 28 days. He lost 27 pounds in 28 days, which is a lot for somebody, but he had a lot of weight to lose. But I was trying to just get the toxins out of his system, because after he left the ranch and won the championship, he started to just eat chemicals again. So he needed to be cleaned out. His liver needed to work optimally. When your liver works optimally, your whole system tends to work optimally. So it's really the key to the castle, detoxing. And you got to do it the right way. I've done every detox pretty much I know out there. I've fainted. I've done it all. I have literally done it all. So that's why I created my RGN detox, because I wanted to feel good and not feel starving. I always say this is not a starvation diet. You eat when you're hungry and don't when you're not, but you're eating protein, fat, and fiber. You're having collagen shakes with some amino acids and antioxidants that help open up pathways 1 and 2. So you do it safely. There's so many things out there. You know, we could talk about the juice cleanse, right? I'm not a fan at all, except for if you want to do it for a day or two to give your digestive tract a break. But those juice cleanses have no fiber. There's no fiber. So what are we cleansing? Fiber is what we need to, it's the garbage truck that goes through the system and the intestines and picks up all the garbage. So it's void of fiber, and it's usually high in sugar because they put a bunch of apples in there or fruits in there that make it taste good. And then when was it pressed? Because usually the minerals and the vitamins die off after you press it. So it could be 3 days or 5 days before that you're drinking it. So you're really just drinking a very expensive sugar water at the end, you know, when you're having that 5 days later. So if you do a detox the right way, I highly recommend it, because it is very effective for everything to work optimally.
Awesome. Well, this has been awesome. Tell listeners where they can find you and where they can follow you.
Yeah, I have an office in Newport Beach, California, but I work with people all over the country via Zoom. And my Instagram and Facebook and all that good stuff, my website, it's all Risa, R-I-S-A, Grew, G-R-O-U-X, nutrition.com, or just Risa Grew Nutrition.
Awesome. Well, you guys stay tuned. We've got another episode coming up in just a few. Bye-bye for now.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to today's podcast. If you enjoy the podcast, it would mean the world to us for you to leave a review on iTunes to get this podcast out to others that may have the same questions that you do. And as always, if you have a question that you want answered, email those to questions@chantelrayway.com. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.